This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right!
Yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about episode 202 of The Lotus Effect, which we have provisionally titled Waldos in Pornos, because we have a story involving skin flicks later in the script here. And of course, you know how it goes. The show's made up. The content doesn't matter. Still after 202 episodes, I'm still Phoenix.
You never met a motherfucker quite like me.
And I don't know. I'm still Phone Boy.
I'm not worried about whether I piss people off, and I'm not trying to piss people off. I just say what I think the way it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's Tom Likas for you. That's exactly what Tom Likas did back in the day. And yeah, great stuff. You know, we like old radio. We like music. That's what we part of our charm, I guess. We do here.
Dude, are you planning on getting through that, or would you like a new throat, bro? Like, holy shit, you sound like you swallowed tacks and you're trying to pop them out one at a time.
Yeah, well, hey. That's why I have the coffee over here. But we'd like to welcome anybody that's listening, whether they're listening live on lotuseffect.live, which is where you can tune into the show when we're doing it live. You can also subscribe on a podcast. You can if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I don't know how many people are listening. I don't really track it that closely. But hey, we'd like to welcome you if you're listening anyway. And if you're not, you know, if you do use those platforms, hey, we're there. But, you know, that's anyway. I'm freaking out right now. I don't know about you.
Apparently, since it's my opening and you sniped my skit. Wow. Now I'm freaking out. Y'all want to freak out? Let's freak out.
What is this? A freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, you might be freaking out. We're freaking out. Everybody's freaking out because the Lotus affects everyone differently. And however and wherever the Lotus is affecting you today, we definitely would love to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Now, we tell you about it every week, but we'll continue to tell you. We put a lot of work into doing this shit show that you're putting in your ears right now, and we operate on the value-for-value model, which, of course, consists of the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We know money's tight, especially with the government shutting down. If you're one of those who depends on the government to keep your train rolling down the track, you may not have the fiat fund coupons to spread around, but that's okay. We're not greedy about it. You know, the treasure is the least of the important T's in the three T's for us. But if you do happen to have a few shekels hanging around that you would like to pass on to us, you can, of course, go to lotuseffect.show and click on the green We Like Money button. And you can send us some of your fiat fund coupons via PayPal or Cash App. Now, of course, if you are interested in Cash App, it's $TheLotusEffect33. And you can go to our merch store, lotuseffect.shop. Where you can buy some of our crap that's smeared with our brand feces, or you can do a one-time or recurring donation on the site, which, you know, we do have some people who do recurring donations, like Mr. Cotton Gin, who, with his $5 monthly donation.
Yes, he does.
Oh, you the executive producer.
Well, he does more than donate money, let's be honest.
Oh, my God, yes, he does. Like, he runs Isobot, he, you know, God, he's got so many things. I've lost track of how many neat nerd things that Cotton Gin does to benefit our show. It's just unbelievable. He's so amazing. He's got a backup recording now that automatically a bot that does that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff he's doing, and it is, yeah, and I think that's actually, and it, yeah, that, so it's not just the money, monetary contribution, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's kind of, we talk about time, talent, and treasure, it's not just like, you know, I mean, and I know that stuff even benefits other podcasts that use it as well. I think he just did a new weather bot. Also.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember seeing it in our chat. Very awesome.
That's right. So,
there's also another, donation, if you will, not in the monetary form. This is more of a time form. The
It's feedback. Yeah,
yeah, took to give us feedback.
Yes, send back the act.
Are you planning on doing this the entire show? Or are you going to let me run my own shit? I'm asking for a friend.
Just keep going.
Thank you. So, anyways, one of our wonderful listeners on the Dong, which we'll talk about later, Mr. America. He sent a message, said I could listen to Phoenix read the phone book. Thank you, America. That's so sweet. I've often used that in relation to accents that I hear, like, oh, I could listen to that person read the phone book. So I'm glad that he sent the act back in that way. And like I said, we understand if you don't have the cash, but because we put such an investment in, we would just love to know that we're not doing it all for naught. So let us know that you're listening. It only takes a minute or two. And some of the ways that you can do that are you can subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast app, find, follow, rate, and review us. I'm sure after today's mumble mouthing, we probably won't get a very high rating, but that's okay. You can find us in Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast app from that receives an RSS feed. You can find us, rate, and review. Now, the other thing you can do is you can also hop on
Mastodon.
That's right, the massive dong. We talk about it all the time, and here it is. He is at phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. I'm at phoenix at lotuseffect.social. You, of course, can message us there. You can share some feedback. You can definitely post memes. We love those. You can also send us an email. I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. It comes directly to me, yours personally. And I do respond to any correspondence we get. So feel free to give us some feedback there. You can send us something via the uniform member of the federal government, a.k.a. snail mail. Hit us up in the back channel if you'd like the address to send us some physical something or other. And the big thing, we scream about it, we'll keep screaming about it. Join the chat sometime. We do Rideshare Radio every other week when we're not doing 2.5 bends. It starts Fridays at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, or during this, which is, of course, the Lotus Effect, 4 o'clock in the specific, or not specific, no, the Central.
Five Eastern,
4 Central. Like I said, I'm not managing it today. And of course, we do Studio 33 following the content, which is a whole lot of fun. You can request songs like you do in Rideshare Radio. Now, of course, Rideshare Radio is done when I have actual rideshare passengers and they give us some music requests. A couple weeks ago, we had a really good rideshare radio. We had one particular passenger who just thought it was so awesome and had several different requests. He was a lot of fun. And of course, you know, Studio 33, it's where we might play a game of Cards Against Humanity, or we might just dance the night away. We'll probably have a great goddamn time, because we do. And yeah, join us. That's really important to us. A big way to send the act back is join us during the time when we are live getting into shenanigans over here. You can find all of that at lotuseffect.live. And you can also call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, apparently Phoneboy's soundboard is boozy today because it's not acting right. He was trying like hell to fire that clip, and it just was not.
That was even on time, too. That's
you
the
were.
Worst part.
You were totally on time.
I was there. I was ready. It was a medical condition, anyway.
But your board wasn't. So the reason that you would be calling 253-237-3321 is to give us feedback or weigh in on our weekly weigh-in topic, which this week, I know you all are dying to know what it is. It is, do you believe in the supernatural, with today being All Saints Day? And we kind of were wondering, you know, what's your thoughts on the otherworldly shite with Halloween being last night and everything? Now, of course, remember when you call, Google Voice will answer the phone and it will mangle your transcript and probably produce a show title, which we will all laugh about when we're deciding what to name this shit show that we put out for you. So call 253-237-3321 and let us know, do you believe in the supernatural? So with that, I think we've effectively explained ourselves, so we should probably take it from Mr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide, and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
But there's one thing we're not going to do.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
Yeah,
be polite, don't be anti-Semitic, don't be racist, that's my job. Just be a decent human being, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and I think this is good advice for anybody.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, I don't know what you're counting on us for, but maybe
to be entertaining at the very least.
Okay, let's go be entertaining because we start off in our in the entertainment extravaganza to the lowest effect. We start with our health segment, which will never ever ever be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, and speaking of Halloween. This was one of those stories I just kind of, when I looked at this story, I went, oh God, I'm going to hate cover this, but I had to do it. Do Halloween treats hype kids up? Here's how to make sure you all get a good night's sleep.
More sugar!
Now, this is from the Propaganda from Down Under department, because it's a story about Australians learning the joys of modern Halloween in the United States. When kids, and yes, adults too, eat sugary, ultra-processed treats that they serve at Halloween, it causes a sharp spike in your blood sugar, i.e. your glucose levels. Now, blood sugar immediately starts to rise after eating. Now, by the way, it rises in response to anything, but more sugar, the probably...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, your blood sugar rises no matter what you eat. It's to what degree, how sharply and excessively that matters.
Yes, it could lead to a brief burst of feeling more energized. And that's in response, the body releases insulin to regulate the system and bring those levels back down. Now, this can cause an energy slump, usually 60 minutes after eating, although the spike and crash cycle may be faster when foods are ultra-processed, like many lollies. Yeah, you can tell it's written for a different audience when they're calling them lollies.
Hey, I think lolly is a great term for
lolly,
a sucker.
Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. All right, I'm sorry. But while kids might get a short-lived burst of energy from eating lollies, the effect on their behavior isn't nearly as dramatic as you might think. And research shows the so-called sugar rush and the idea that it makes kids hyperactive is largely a myth. Bullshit! Oh my God. Actually, this is something my dad at some point was like, you can't have sugar after 1 o'clock because and I'm sure he did that on purpose.
Phoneboy, I've been with you for just short of 4 years. You don't need sugar to be bouncing off the motherfucking wall. I'm not surprised your dad was like, yeah, bro, no sugar after one. If you were as hyperactive as a kid as you are as an adult, yeah, you don't need sugar, man. You're good.
Yeah. Like I said, well, Dad and I drink lots of coffee, so, you know.
You're highly caffeinated.
I'm highly caffeinated. That's right. Although, as we discovered the other night, it doesn't really matter. I can fall asleep right after having a cup of coffee, so.
I have had that ability for years. It's whether I decide to let it keep me up or not. But yeah. Please continue telling us about the lollies.
Now, behavior we might blame on sugar. Well, it is all the sugar. But anyway, it's probably more about the environment than the sweets. Now, many kids will find it hard to wind down after this kind of excitement or when they're anticipating trick-or-treat the next day. This is
the thrill, noise, and adrenaline.
Yeah, the thrill.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the thrill, noise, and adrenaline of trick-or-treating. Although, I don't know these days. Halloween, I was usually the one at home, feeding the munchkins that would dare to come down our driveway, right, and give them, whatever hot, fresh garbage candy we had required.
Yeah, but do you know why you were the one who was left home while your ex went out?
I didn't want to, personally, so it was fine. I was fine with her doing whatever,
Well, because she didn't have to dress up. She was naturally a witch.
Well, anyway. Okay. So anyway, but we might. So, but yeah, we get anyway. So yeah, it might actually be the fact that, okay, you know, that they're playing and doing things. I've seen that. No, that's not what it is. That's bullshit. Many kids will find it hard to wind down after this kind of assignment and when they're anticipating trick-or-treating the next day. Not what I've seen, anyway.
And I think trunk-or-treat is gross.
Yeah.
The fact we have centralized, you go from car to car to car to car. What the fuck is that? We used to go house to house. We used to know our neighbors. We used to talk to our neighbors. We used to actually go neighborhoods at a time. You knew this was the good neighborhood. They passed out the full-size candy bars. You went to the rich houses because they had the good candy. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. I'm offended.
I honestly wouldn't want to walk around these streets at night anyway. Around in these neighborhoods, at least most of them. This place in general seems to be kind of adverse to trick or treating. So you know, but. Anyway, the excitement makes your bodies produce adrenaline and cortisol, hormones that keep the heart rate up and the mind alert. Now, this high-energy state is the opposite of what helps the body prepare for sleep. Yeah, racing thoughts and restless energy can also make it difficult to relax. Now, adding to this, Halloween means a later bedtime and disrupted routine, not from what I've seen. Kids are usually outside, active, and exposed to bright lights later than usual. Okay, now, this is written in Australia where, yeah, they're upside down, but here, when we have Halloween, it's fucking dark. It's like the days are getting shorter. If anything, you're out, especially up in the Pacific Northwest, like at 5 o'clock, it's dark already. So like, you know, you're not really, you know, yeah, I don't buy this. This is bullshit. As I'm reading this, I knew when I read this, I was going to be upset about it. But so
that's what makes the show so good.
Yeah, that's right. So, this can delay the body's release of melatonin, the hormone that signals it's time to sleep. No, not in the way we do it. The combination of heightened excitement, irregular bedtime, and stimulation from the evening's activities make it much harder for children to settle down. And eating a lot of sugary treats right before bedtime can disrupt their sleep further. Now, the rapid glucose spike before bed can increase your kids' energy levels and interfere with natural sleepiness. Then when their blood sugar levels drop sharply again, they might wake up during the night. Now, the article says not to eat sweets, maintain consistent bedtime, blah, blah, but doesn't say the obvious thing. Just say no to the sweets entirely. They're not good for you. That's the problem. It's all that fucking sugar, all that shit that you're not supposed to eat. Yeah, there might be some other shit going on there too, but the food, folks, it's all shit. It doesn't even taste good anymore either. I mean, shit.
No, I'm totally in agreeance with that. I've found, because I've had the, I don't know how to say, I've not been virtuous. So I've been like, oh, you know, I miss this or I miss that. And I'll even, you know, I'll call myself out for it. I actually had, now you're probably going to be nauseated by this. I actually had a little diabetes oatmeal cream pie the other day. I actually purchased one. And first of all, they've doubled in price.
No, I'm not surprised by that.
They used to be 25, then they went to 50. Now it's a dollar and over for these snacks. And they're so not worth it. They don't taste like anything except for abject garbage, sugar, and regret. And it's just ridiculous. Now, we know that kids are gonna, you know, kids love Halloween. Basically, starting at Halloween and ending after Easter, that's the sugar train.
Sugar season.
It's sugar season. Exactly. That's exactly. And that's a great show title. Because once Halloween starts, you know, then you have all the sweets and the sugar from Thanksgiving. Then you go to Christmas. More candy, more sweets, more sugar. Sugar, sugar. Then, okay, fine. We get to the top of the year. Then you get hit with Valentine's Day. All those chocolates. And for kids, yeah, they're probably not getting, well, I don't know. My kids got, I used to buy them like a little heart that had like three or four little chocolates in it for Valentine's Day. But then, of course, you have Easter, one of the biggest sugar rush holidays next to Halloween. When you get your Easter basket full of all those jelly beans and peeps and all of the just the endless sugar season has begun, sadly. And telling parents not to bring their kids out to trick-or-treat, that's really, I think trick-or-treating is healthy for kids because they see other kids. They interact. They compare costumes and all of those things. And they come up with some pretty interesting costumes. I saw an article where a mom, this is so wild, her son wanted to go as a fart. So the mom actually made this costume with a bunch of like tulle and crinkly material. She made this kid into a fart. It was the cutest thing. I saw the picture. We didn't do a story on it, but I just thought I'd bring it in. I love Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday. I did not dress up yesterday. I didn't even leave the house except for to go to the grocery store. And had I put more thought and effort into it, I might have even dressed up to go to the grocery store because I'm that kind of weirdo. But at the end of the day, try to limit the sugar that the kids are consuming from the Halloween candy. I know my parents used to, you remember when you actually had to go through your Halloween candy because, you know, once upon a time somebody put some fucked up shit in candy and all the parents freaked out? Yeah, a couple years ago we did the show on the boogeyman of Halloween. I can't remember his name. I know his first name was like Ronald or something like that.
Well, was it
the one who poisoned the pixie sticks?
Oh,
trying to kill his kid.
Yeah, but that was a F-Tam, wasn't it?
It might have been an F-Tam.
It probably was an F-Tam.
The point is, the report of this was done on one of our shows. We did talk about the etymology of checking the Halloween candy, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, speaking of Halloween, another spooky thing we can talk about, which I loved pulling the opening clip, and we will play the song that belongs to this clip when we are in Studio 33. But this holds a special place in my heart because from potion to prescription, how witches' herbs are becoming medical marvels.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bang, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bang, bang.
During Halloween, stories of witches and their potions resurface, often featuring eerie plants like belladonna, mandrake, and mugwort. These botanicals, steeped in myth and folklore, have long been linked to spells and sorcery. Yet behind their spooky reputations lies a fascinating pharmacological history and, in some cases, ongoing medical relevance. Belladonna, Atropa belladonna, also known as deadly nightshade, has a long and contradictory history as both poison and medicine. Its naming, meaning beautiful woman in Italian, refers to its Renaissance-era cosmetic use, when women used juice from its berries to dilate their pupils and appear more alluring. Ooh, I didn't know about that. That's kind of neat. But this beauty comes with danger. Belladonna is highly toxic. Ingesting even a few leaves or berries can be fatal, and touching it may irritate the skin. It also has been used for hallucinogenic properties in many cultures. The plant's power comes from tropane alkaloids, such as atropine and scopolamine. These compounds block the action of acetylcholine, a chemical that sends messages between nerve cells in the parasympathetic nervous system. This system helps regulate muscle movement and key body functions, including heart rate, breathing, memory, learning, sweating, digestion, and urination. Scientific research continues to highlight belladonna's medical relevance, yet safety concerns persist. Another plant in the nightshade family is mandrake, Mandragora officinarum, whose humanoid-shaped root has inspired centuries of myth, from ancient Greek texts to the Bible. Folklore warned that pulling a mandrake from the ground would unleash a deadly scream, a story so enduring it even found its way into the Harry Potter series. In witchcraft, mandrake was believed to be a key ingredient in flying ointments used as amulets for fertility and protection, and added to love potions, perhaps due to its hallucinogenic effects. Historically, it was used as an anesthetic, sedative, and fertility aid. Like belladonna, mandrake contains tropane alkaloids, such as atropine and scopolamine, which have psychoactive properties. A 2022 study cataloged 88 traditional medical uses for mandrake, ranging from pain relief to sedation to skin and digestive disorders. However, science doesn't necessarily support all these claims. What a surprise. Of course, we know because, you know, pig pharma is all about the money and not about your health, because it's not about your health, nor do they care. Now, mugwort Artemisia species is another herb often linked to magic and healing. Traditionally, it was used to enhance dreams and ward off evil spirits. In 2015, a Nobel Prize was awarded for the discovery of artemisinin, an anti-malarial compound derived from Artemisia annua, or annual mugwort. In traditional Chinese medicine, mugwort features in
moxibustion, I think
is a therapy involving burning the herbs near acupuncture points to stimulate healing. Ooh, I've actually not heard of that. That's interesting. It's also used by herbalists to treat menstrual irregularities and digestive issues. Common mugwort is listed as a homeopathic ingredient in the European Pharmacopoeia, where it's used to help with irregular periods, menopause symptoms, and nervous conditions such as sleepwalking, seizures, epilepsy, and anxiety. The above-ground parts of mugwort are used to make essential oil, which contains compounds like camphor, pinene, and cinnoli. These substances are known for their antioxidant, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Artemisinin in the plant may gently stimulate the uterus and help regulate menstrual cycles. Animal studies suggest Artemisia leaf extract may help treat inflammatory skin conditions by reducing the release of inflammation-causing chemicals from immune cells. Clinical evidence remains limited, and more rigorous research is needed to confirm its safety and effectiveness. Of course.
Well, because of course the science always uses that as a phrase to when either they're making something up or they want to bury something that actually probably works. I mean, considering this stuff's been around for a while, I assume, you know, it's much like anything else. You just have to know how to use it and under what circumstances. And
exactly. You know. I think these herbs get a very bad rep for being from the nightshade family. All you have to do is say the word nightshade and people start pooping in their pants because they're afraid of it. They don't understand that, you know, again, with power, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. These things can have a positive effect on health when used properly. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, yes. Now, of course, what they want you to do instead is take Ozempic. And what happens to your body when you decide to stop doing that?
Oh!
Yeah. Now, not all experts use the term Ozempic withdrawal in any official capacity, but according to, well, we'll just call her an expert, at a nurse practitioner at the Weight Loss Center at Rush University Medical Group, patients experience changes when they stop these medications, which you should never, ever take to begin with. But anyway. According to this expert, stopping Ozempic can include all of the following symptoms. Appetite and food cravings return. Yeah, because you weren't eating right to begin with. Weight gain occurs. Yeah, because you didn't change your eating habits. Blood sugars increase again because your diet didn't change. For patients with diabetes, reduce blood sugar control again because you didn't eat right. Blood pressure can increase. Yeah, again, same thing. Cholesterol may be negatively changed. Well, you know, patients can experience mood changes related to weight regain. Yeah. Again, if you don't change your diet, Ozempic isn't going to do shit for you.
And that's exactly the point that we are making here, Foam Boy, I believe, is that all these things they're saying, oh, if you stop taking our poison, all these things could happen. Yeah, because you didn't actually fix the problem. You put a fucking Band-Aid on a broken leg and then realized it was fucking gangrening, so you stopped using the drug. Well done. You're still fat, you're still stupid, and you're still gonna fucking die. Change your diet, not what you're taking drug-wise, because you shouldn't be taking it to begin with.
I'm on the drug that killed River Phoenix. But anyway, that's Studio 33.
That's Studio 33.
Now, whether you're taking Ozempic for type 2 diabetes or off-label for weight reduction, experts say there are many reasons why someone may stop taking Ozempic. Now, the expert explained that she sees patients who are using Ozempic off-label for weight management, as well as clients who use Wegovy and the compound semaglutide. Now, they can feel like they can just take themselves off when they reach their goal weight, when in reality that could relate to weight regain because the effects of the appetite suppression goes away with the disruption of use. Well, yeah, no shit. Yeah, you stop taking the shit that's making you sick. Yeah, you might eat again. This expert explained that it's important for people to realize that the medication is intended to be used long-term like every other fucking drug they prescribe.
Because they're trying to kill you.
That's right. Fucking bought in. Using Ozempic, Wegovy, and semaglutide short-term will definitely solve your short-term issues, the experts said. One may consider a lower maintenance dose and there should be a dietary eating plan in place. How about you don't take the damn Gila monster venom to begin with and just eat right? And then you won't have to fucking do that. That's just my opinion, man.
I don't know. I'm liking Sir Bemrose's opinion in the chat here. He says the Senate Democrats are doing more than Ozempic to help fat people on welfare lose weight.
Oh, jeez. Snap joke.
Snap joke. Well landed.
All right. Well, this is not a joke, this next story.
No, it isn't. But again, this goes with change your diet and maybe you wouldn't need these medications because there are blood pressure medications that have been recalled. As a matter of fact, more than 580,000 bottles which have been affected. Two pharmaceutical companies have issued voluntary nationwide recalls of, prazosin hydrochloride capsules because the pills contain an impurity in amounts that exceeds the acceptable safety limit, according to the FDA. Wow, they give a fuck about that safety limit but care nothing about the shit in the food system. Am I surprised? No. So the agency cited failed impurities degradation specification as the reason for the recalls, meaning the capsules were found to contain nitroso-parazosin impurity C, whatever that is, at levels that exceed what the FDA considers acceptable for human consumption. This impurity is classified as a potential carcinogen when consumed over time. Oh, great! I'm sorry. I literally just had in my EV science studies of low-dose poisoning v. high-dose poisoning. That's exactly what this reminds me of. Hey, this is a carcinogen, and if you consume it for a really long time, you're gonna fucking die! But it's in this medication that you need to keep you alive. That seems like a real Kobayashi Maru now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the FDA classified both recalls as class 2, meaning the products could cause temporary or medically reversible health problems. Excuse me. Hold up. Just a moment. Cancer is not usually a reversible fucking health problem. Carcinogens cause cancer. QED. The medication is commonly used to treat high blood pressure and is sometimes prescribed for those who experience nightmares related to post-traumatic stress disorders. Are you shitting me? Oh, these people make me sick. If you read A Bottle of Lies from Catherine Eben, you'd realize most drugs made, especially generic ones, are made under less than ideal conditions with inadequate oversight. You just don't take these medications, folks. Like, unless you truly have a death wish, just stop doing it. Oh, God. So dark. So gross. Phone boy, I need something to make me happy. Should we talk about things that make you happy and me happy?
Yeah, I think let's
make everybody else happy. Because I want to be happy.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. All right. This one, when I came across this story, I realized that this story had some meaning to me because, yeah, I used to live in where they do the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. I've been there. I've seen my share of, of Ironman training. I never actually saw the thing, but this was just a really inspirational story for me. So an 80-year-old grandma who learned to swim at 59 years old just became the oldest ever female Ironman finisher.
You are an Ironman!
Yeah, and that's what they shout when you cross the finish line, by the way. With every step toward the finish line, Natalie Grabo was proving it's never too late to get started. Earlier this month, the 80-year-old grandmother from Mountain Lakes, New Jersey, became the oldest woman to ever finish the punishing Ironman World Championship Triathlon in Kailua Kona, Hawaii. She swam 2.4 miles, even though she never learned to swim until she was almost 60. Then she pedaled 112 miles on a bicycle and immediately ran a full 26.2-mile marathon to make history. About 60 other competitors quit before they finished, all of them younger. Grabo did not. She's truly gritty, Grabo's coach Michelle Lake told NPR. Natalie is the definition of grit and gratitude. Grateful to make it to the start line, grateful to get to do something she loves every day, and grateful to inspire so many others. Natalie's story is even more impressive considering when she started. Now, she grew up in New Jersey long before Title IX vastly expanded the competitive opportunities for female athletes. A part of her that always existed lay dormant, just waiting for a chance. When you grow up, you don't have those options. You know, you just watch the boys do stuff and you're just the cheerleader, she told The Athletic. It was just thrilling once I could do my first 5K and race and ride a bike with other people. As an adult, she worked as a software developer, played some doubles tennis, and eventually found running. The last hobby would prove to be a long-lasting love. Running helped her form friendships and filled up her free time several days a week. Now, her friends eventually tried triathlons, but even in her 50s, Natalie didn't know how to swim. Fortunately, she never once believed it was too late to start. So she became a mainstay at her local YMCA pool, using friends and books and videos along with pure determination to learn some swimming strokes. She improved enough to try a sprint triathlon and soon had her eyes on a longer distances. Now, Grabo worked on stretching and strength training. She cycled on an indoor exercise bike, ran at a nearby high school track, and kept swimming at the same place where she learned the skill late in life. 20 years ago, she finished her first half Ironman. A few years later, she graduated to the full-length version, and this past month, Grabo was tackling the famous Ironman triathlon course in Hawaii. She swam 2.4 miles in Kailua Bay, using the freestyle strokes that escaped her for so long. She biked 112 miles in temperatures that peaked above 80 degrees. Yeah, the humidity out there is fucking brutal, guys. Then came the marathon, 26.2 miles on a road course that gradually climbed more than 1,000 feet. Just as she had many other times before, she kept moving forward, drawing closer and closer to her latest goal. It was just the latest obstacle in a life that has been searching them out, intent on surpassing them all. Natalie crossed the finish line in 16 hours, 45 minutes, and 26 seconds, becoming the oldest female to ever finish the Ironman World Championship in Hawaii. Absolutely incredible, the PA announcer said to the spectators in attendance. Now, the seniors already searching for her next challenge. She signed up for a pair of Ironman races in 2026, and she may even take aim at the record set by Hiromu Inada, who at 85 became the oldest person to finish the Ironman World Championship in 2018.
Woohoo! That is one badass woman. Good on her.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm Oliver Klimp. Talk amongst yourselves.
You should have seen him trying to get this story done this morning. He couldn't do it. It's great, though. I love this. One, I love that she's from Jersey. That just totally proves Jersey women are badass. No doubt. Like, shout out to Wookie, because she's a Jersey girl, and she is a badass. We love her. Not triathlon worthy yet, but she's still a badass. So, my story for this week is hopefully a little less teary. He won a Crayola crayon naming contest in 1992 as a boy, and now it's been voted number 2 color in the world.
'Cause it's fun to create with Crayola!
An iconic and charming shade of light blue has a surprising origin story, one that was just recognized in a worldwide poll as one of the most popular crayon colors ever made. It turns out an 8-year-old boy hatched the idea to name the color Robin's Egg Blue, not a chic design catalog. He won a Crayola crayon color naming contest in 1992 with the idea. Now, I want to stop and put a little personal on this. Robin's Egg Blue is one of my favorite colors. I always cold read these stories. I don't ever check them, read them beforehand. This is so awesome because that is a really great color. And Chris Straub from Vermont gave the iconic name to the iconic color. And in an international survey of 180 countries, Crayola recently revealed that of all the Crayola colors they've ever produced, and they've made a lot, Robin's Egg Blue was the second favorite. My mom, being a third grade teacher, that was just something that we had, Straub told ABC 22. So I was definitely always coloring, obviously, with Crayola products. Shameless plug. The favorite was cerulean, followed by Robin's Egg Blue and wisteria. Back in 92, when Straub came up with the name and won the contest, he was flown out to California to visit Universal Studios and says it's surreal to think that his 8-year-old brain created something loved by millions. Britney Spears' favorite color was Robin's Egg Blue, which for a middle schooler was absolute gold. Chris reminisced, adding, I'm having a daughter in about a month and she'll discover this color. So it's incredible to have named something that's provided joy generationally. He and his wife live in Dover, New Hampshire, where their baby girl may one day go to school and find a delightful shade of blue among the coloring supplies and have her father to thank for it.
That's great.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of stories we like to do. We like to get stories that, you know, that say, yeah, there's, you know, good shit's going on. People are experiencing joy.
And you know, now that I get the next box of goddamn big Crayola crayons, I'm going to look for the Robin's Egg Blue.
Exactly. Well, I think the next thing we're going to do right now is listen to the Cavalcade of Stupidity by none other than Rev Cybertrucker.
Hi-dee-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. AI is becoming a rather pervasive tool to the detriment of most intelligence. However, it does have some fairly good use cases. Take the YouTube channel Dirty Needles Presents as our AI-generated music example. Dirty Needles Records is a YouTube channel where you can leave your intelligence behind. Tune in, turn up, check out, snigger like a puerile double entendre-laden grown-up, and hear the greatest made-up music from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. From Dirty Needles Presents, this is Carrie Redtide, Pound Me in the Pumpkin Patch.
I'm a country gal, hips grinding through the corn, got them farm boys drooling, their pickers all. Gonna fill my juicy cut, no AC rock and tame this wild Phyllis flame. I'm hunting two cowboys to play my dirty game. This patch ain't for pies, it's my lusty old dam. Saddle up, you studs, make my body sing again. Give me a pounding in the pumpkin patch, two hunks banging.
It's a good thing we have an explicit tag on this show. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. All right. We'll play. We will play. Okay. I failed to, by the way, I failed to play last week's.
So you're going to get a double dose.
You'll get a double dose of Cavalcade of Stupidity in the Studio 33. Oh my God.
Okay. It takes a lot for me to literally cover my face with my hands and blush, but that one I truly think accomplished it. You, sir, are a fucking degenerate, Rev Cybertrucker, and we thank you. We love you, bro. That was great.
Yes. Now I think it's time to say what fun you had this week on the streets of Knoxville.
Yeah, we only had a few people take that ride this week. Short week, but I got a lot done. But a few of the interesting things that occurred... I talked about last night on 2.5 Bends that I had one of the upper level AWS retards in my ride. And as I said last night, when discussing the outage that basically took about half the world down because it's always DNS and typos happen, his response was, well, I mean, it was a glitch. I couldn't stop myself. I said, you call this a glitch? You took down half the world, dude. That's not a glitch, bro. And then we talked about things like, why did everybody put all their eggs in one basket? And why does everything default to East 1? And fucking AWS just so bad needs to get their shit together. Then again, so does Microsoft. But we're not going to talk about that because this is not 2.5 Bends. This is Rideshare. Some people are just so bought. Like, you can tell he's not one of them that is losing his fucking job. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, because there was a bunch. Yeah, because there, yeah, the bunch of people got laid off from Amazon. The letter, I actually had pulled it for 2.5 bins, but
well, you know what's interesting too is the fact that when you get shit canned, they clear your calendar. And he was talking about going in and looking at some people's calendars to see just exactly who got the axe. He was also talking about the fact that one thing Amazon actually does, which I have to give credit for because this is a lot of intelligence and many companies don't do this, is when they shit can you, yeah, their IT people actually do go in and lock your shit down where your access is completely limited to only very necessary things because they're not stupid. They know that there are people who are smart enough to fuck their system up if they have access to certain things. Lateral movement, you Benz and Bernadettes understand. So I was actually kind of impressed by the fact that they do lock down their access
almost immediately. In fact, no, there was in there that said, oh, by the way, if you need help getting out of the building, then you're going to need to talk to Amazon security because, of course, all your security credentials have been revoked.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like hero to zero with these folks. They just they slash you at the fucking hips, let alone the knees when they can you. So that was interesting to find out at the very least. I know Phoneboy's dying for me to tell this story. Had a gentleman, funny enough, same age as my oldest son, that was going to see his booty call. He calls it friends with benefits. We know you're going to lay some pipe, bro. Just admit it. It's a booty call. Because, I mean, especially the time of night. Mm-hmm. That's all it could be. But because we use ducks as our marketing, and we were chatting, and I gave him a duck with the QR code on it because he was asking about the show. And I said, well, I can give you one for your girlfriend, too. So, of course, I gave him a pink sparkly one because girls like pink. And he was like, oh, my God, she's going to love it. And he gives her he tells her on the phone. And I thought he said he sent her a text message. But I know because I heard him tell her on the phone when we were almost there. He's like, I got you a present. And I'm like, that's slick. That's definitely earning bonus points for giving your booty call a duck. Got to respect that. I mean, I'm not sure how I would feel if my booty call showed up with a duck. Especially if it was an advertising duck, but I'm not judging. I know.
A marketing duck, even.
A marketing duck,
A marketing duck, yeah. So
It was very interesting, though. It was actually the last ride of the evening, so that was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, it was good. It was good fun. Yeah,
we were on the phone
when that happened. It is interesting what you hear, what I overhear sometimes when you're when you're doing ride share. There's some folks definitely are more talkative than others and say quite a lot.
They certainly have some interesting things, and it's funny because the guy who I told y'all about who does digital forensics as a career, I actually had him as a passenger again. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, okay. This is cool. I like getting repeat customers. And I love when my customers favorite me because I know it pisses off the rideshare platform that, you know, because I'm not exactly in favor with them and I don't care. Every time I get favored, I feel like it's a blow for freedom where they can do nothing about the fact that they want so bad to deplatform me because they don't like the fact I don't always keep to the speed limit or, you know, I make evasive driving moves because people in Knoxville are fucking dumb with the way that they drive. Looking at you, Georgia and Florida and Alabama, keep your fucking asses in your own states. You people do not know how to drive in our city here and you cause problems. I'm just saying. That's basically all I've got from rideshare. Not a whole lot of, you know, hoop-la-dee-doo, so to speak. Because I didn't have a very long week. I think I worked one day. I was going to work yesterday, but we all know how things kind of changed.
Well, we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about that.
We will definitely talk about it. Let's jam.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun. And I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
Yeah, those special plans should include calling 253-237-3321 and weigh in on if you believe in the supernatural. And in the meantime, while we wait for all that good stuff to happen, I know y'all are probably curious, what's Phoenix cooking?
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
You know, it's probably going to be like going to Denny's simply because all I'm doing is heating and we're eating. I've already made what we're having for dinner, which is a banger match of chili.
Yep.
I made it the other day. Actually, the same day I made the asabuco that I made the chili. And it came out really good. I gave it a quick taste test before I threw it in containers and put it in the freezer. But it's really yummy. It's probably definitely going to be...
It's like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah. And yeah, let's see. In terms of toast and jam this week. So I think we're still collecting photos for the Pets of the Lotus calendar. We probably
definitely are. And once we have a good enough collection, we will put out a calendar and we will offer it for purchase to anyone who's interested. And the proceeds, of course, will sit in the coffers for the next time we have a pedal head in need. We will have some money indeed to throw at them. So send us the pictures of your pets. We would love to see your fur babies, even if they don't have fur. I know Sharky's got like a bearded dragon he said he was going to send. We love all the pets. I will tell you, though, I'm very serious about this. No scorpions, no tarantulas. Those are not fucking pets. That's gross. I don't understand people who consider those pets. That's the only two exceptions that I'm asking is please do not include if for some reason you're one of those macabre motherfuckers who has scorpions or spiders and considers them a pet. I'll even accept a snake. I will. Not a scorpion, not a spider. Thank you, drive-thru.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. Well, okay, so more vinyl-y things because, yeah, I've been really thinking about, yeah, the some of the music I actually want to have on vinyl, and we've been acquiring it. So, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, there was a couple of Rush albums got bought. I'm trying to think what else, but I also went down the Steve Miller rabbit hole and got a couple of Steve Miller albums, and I'm trying to remember what they are, but I also got Huey Lewis in the News, right? And in fact, I bought it was funny because I was going through Walmart the other day and I just happened to walk through the vinyl and I saw Huey Lewis in the News Sports. I said, well, that looks like that seems like a good album. And
that
so,
was the universe going, you need this in your life.
Yeah. Well, the universe did this again too. So as a result of that, I had also purchased a Four, which I did on eBay. And I also have, that's probably downstairs now or will be very soon, is a copy of the soundtrack to Back to the Future, which actually has another Huey Lewis song that I want to have on vinyl. So
fantastic movie.
Yeah. Another fantastic movie. But when I was at Walmart Thursday, I guess. I had said earlier in the week, I said, we need some Ozzy on vinyl. I walked through the vinyl section. There's a Black Sabbath's Paranoid,
which is probably arguably the best album Black Sabbath.
Yeah, one of their most well known albums for sure.
My youngest, Phoenix Jr., got me into War Pigs. That's his favorite Black Sabbath track, as far as I know, and he wore that song out. Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it also has the one that the Beavis and Butthead did. Anyway,
you know, there's Bob Rivers has a great parody called I Am Santa Claus that parodies that song. Fantastic.
Yes. So anyway, so yeah, more vinyl is being acquired here. Yeah, of course Sir Bemrose is gonna isolate that. I would expect nothing less.
Are you kidding? That was gold. Yeah. Everybody's gonna love that particular piece.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't think we'd like what we got.
Okay. So we finally got our most recent installment of Moo. We got our Carter cow from our beef person. I don't blame our beef provider. They are wonderful people. They do wonderful things. The processor, as I so eloquently stated to Dame Bemrose, who sent me a bag of dicks, because apparently there's a burger joint in her state that is called Dicks, and they put their burgers in sacks, so she sent me a sack of Satchel of Richards there. And my response was, the processor for my beef order that I just got should choke on a bag of dicks. Y'all, I gotta have this beef rant. I do.
And it's not just that it tastes like fucking cow. It needs to be cut like a fucking cow.
No, it needs to be properly fucking cut. because anyone out there who knows the financial value of a rib roast will know. And if you know what a rib roast looks like, you will know. It shouldn't look like a fucking chuck roast. It shouldn't be flat. My rage finally calmed after many hours yesterday of unpacking that beef order and discovering that the way that this stupid mouth-breathing bitch cut my roast, it looks like a fucking chuck roast. It's flat. I can't. It short-circuits my brain, folks, when I think about this particular roast. I was looking, thinking that it was another set of, like, ribeye steaks. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm like, Damon's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, I'm looking for the cut mark on this. And I'm like, don't tell me this is the ribeye roast. And he looks at it, he goes, yeah.
That's what the label says, yeah.
I lost my mind. I think my eyes may have even rolled in the back of my head. Minor convulsions might have occurred. I was so pissed. It is unbelievable. Because that is easily a $150 to $200 piece of meat that you've just teetotally fucked.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know how to fucking cut it.
Well, yeah.
I'm so mad. Yeah, and I have 7 packs of short ribs. Why? I got less than 20 pounds of ground beef and 7 fucking packs of short ribs? I lost it, y'all. I did. I immediately messaged my beef person. I was like, we have a problem. So the next time we get a beef order, she's going to use the other processor who actually knows what the fuck he's doing. Because clearly, these cunts in Cookville who processed it don't. Yeah, I'm doxing you motherfuckers. I can't remember their name. It's like Mayberry or something like that.
Yeah, anyway.
But they suck. Fuck them. They fucked up my cow.
Yeah, well. We'll figure out how to eat it anyway, so as we do.
Yeah, but it's still just not right that I have a very expensive, very thick piece of meat now that is improperly cut, and I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to make that into a meal for a family, because ultimately the whole use of a rib roast is for like a holiday meal. It's something special.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can move on.
Yeah, we can move on, but it's been and unfortunately, I think this has been absolutely so. This is it, from a lot of the people that we talk to behind the mic, some of the pedal heads, y'all have had an absolute kind of a week one way or the other. I get a message for so like I think it was Thursday or might have been Thursday. I can't remember. I don't know. I get a message from Mama.
Yep, it was Thursday.
I get a message from Mama saying, "Hey, can you call me?" And I said, okay, because she doesn't do that very often. So I'm like, okay, I'll call you. No problem. And yeah, she had an absolute, she told me about her absolute cunt of a morning. Yeah, we had to figure out how to plug her laptop into the television because yeah, the screen got damaged by things moving around the place. So, but we took care of some other stuff while we were at it. So, it was, and honestly, Mama and I don't get to talk, just her and I all that often. So it was nice to actually, you know, we started talking about other things and it was nice to have that conversation. But yeah, who else was having issues?
Well, I had an absolute cunt of a week, starting with several days of being slammed into awakeness. Very unceremoniously, finding out my storage unit company got sold and they were doing some stupid ass bullshit. And I mean, it ultimately facilitated something good because, you know, we're moving chains forward in that regard,
yeah, exactly.
Because of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we won't get into all of it here, but yeah, but you can.
Bemlett said he was having a dick in the ass. Dame Jennifer had several days of just face palm shit at work that you just can't script. She sends me some great gifts when we're communicating in text message. I don't know where she finds them, but they're so truly fantastic. But it just seemed like somewhere along the line, almost everyone in our, you know, circle in one way or another was being visited by the shit fairy. Nobody seemed exempt this week for whatever reason.
Yeah, see, yeah, a lot of strange stuff going on. But yeah, hopefully everybody everything starts tilting the right direction because
I think it's gonna. I think.
Yeah, I feel like
things are definitely pointed in the proper direction.
I mean,
right,
honestly,
now,
like, you know, just in general, like, yeah, I mean, with everything going on, I still somehow managed to not lose, not panic, and not, you know, and be able to stay centered in all of this. Because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But, you know, and sometimes it, you know, sometimes you have the reaction, you know, you have the emotional reactions. But at the same time, you still got to, you know, you still got to proceed forward. Right. You don't get to just stand there
There is actually something on an upswing that I can share with the listeners.
Oh, OK. Let's do that. Yeah.
So I didn't think about this. But so y'all know that. I mean, the fact that your girl here is not exactly a spring chicken. And I still have my mom. You know, she's in her 70s, bless her heart. And God help us, she's a victim of the same thing most old folks are a victim of. They spend way too much time staring at digital screens, whether they be fondle slabs, TVs, whatever. So I decided to put a little bit of skin in the game. And I know she loves doing diamond paintings. So I went on Scamazon. And I bought several diamond paintings. I bought a kit to keep all of the little gems or whatever the hell they are. It basically has all the stuff you need to do those things. I don't do them, so I'm not sure of all the ins and outs of it. But irrelevant to the fact, I got her this kit and ordered several paintings and also a couple of, like, word search books, which I did confirm. Crossword looking book.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
right. She has actually done some of the circle-y puzzles, so she is actually utilizing it. She's busting ass on the diamond painting, the first one that she started. So I'm excited because, you know, I bought all this stuff, and she was like, I, you know, not that I'm ungrateful. She's like, but why? And I said, because I could, and because you need to spend more time being present. And it's funny because she even confirmed that to me. She said, you know, she's like, I'm doing, you know, this hummingbird one. She said, and I've noticed that I really need to pay attention to what I'm doing, because if I don't, it's a big problem. It's a big mess. You know, I've got to, you know, fix it. And that's a big screw up. So it forces me to be more attentive and be more present. And I'm like, yes, this is what we've been looking for. You know, it's making you focus. It's keeping your mind sharp. Staring at a fucking computer screen, a television screen, a phone screen, whatever, that does not keep your mind sharp. That does not keep your neurons firing.
Well, and I think
doing these crosswords, things, or not crosswords, the circle puzzles and the diamond paintings, these are keeping her mind active. I will spend no limit amount of money if this helps her to stay on terra firma longer and keep her mind.
Well, I think much more important. I mean, all of that is important, but the way I view this is that, and when you had brought it to me, and when we had talked about it, I said that's a great idea, honey, because it's something that if that's something your mom enjoys doing, then that's great, right? That's everybody should be doing things that bring themselves joy. We've
been talking about you know, and you know what, I think that's a good idea for next week's show. I think we're gonna ask the pedal heads. I'll put it out there before we get into this week's weigh-in topic here. But for next week, what brings you joy? Like, I can tell you one of the things that brings me joy is the soap that I get from Mountain Madness. I love the different, you know, sniffs, and I at times will have two or three different bars going because I'm in the mood to smell like apple cinnamon today, or I'm in the mood to smell like a campfire today, or whatever it is that I'm, you know, that's going to make me happy, whether it's using some Bath and Body Works shampoo and conditioner that I have, which I don't do often because I use the Mountain Madness because it's cleaner, but sometimes I just want to have that smell. Something like that makes me happy. So what makes you happy, pedalheads? What can you do for yourself? Is it taking a walk or run? Is it spending time with your fur baby? Tell us about it. 253-237-3321. It's next week's topic. This week, we want to know if you believe in the supernatural. And I think we might need to wake some people up. What do you think, phone boy?
Sure, let's do it.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253. 937-3321. Yeah. Or you can also text it, which is what Mama did here. She said, I've seen some things that I believe are supernatural, so I guess I would have to say yes. One experience happened after I moved here to Tennessee. Our dog got really sick, didn't know what was wrong with her. While the vet was running blood tests, I sat with the dog in the waiting cubicle. And at one point, I saw Michael, my dad, standing in the corner. I can't even tell you what he was wearing. It was just for a couple of seconds, and then he was gone. I have felt his presence many times since, but I haven't seen him again. But I know he's here somewhere, even though he's never set foot physically in this house. Yeah, he's I can assure you he's there. That's all I can say about that. So there you go. All right. Anyway, I see that there's voicemails here. We're going to play them. Yeah, we're going to play them, and I'm going to actually move so that I can actually hit the play button here. I just pushed play.
It's not Friday. It's not Sunday, but it's in between there. Fumboy, Phoenix. P&P. Or PP. However you want to deal with that. Probably should go in the toilet, though. Or a tree. I don't know. Do I believe in the supernatural? Yes. In Phoenix's words, I believe in the Sky Daddy. And then, yeah, I just think a lot of other stuff gets kind of lumped together and kind of tossed together, and we call it the universe and other stuff. But don't really feel like getting into it because I'm at work right now. But, I got a call. Leave a vocal mail. So, anyway, the answer is yes. So, all right. Well, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful time during the show and the after party and the after party. So, love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not it's a show supernatural or it's just supernatural, go ahead and give a hearty, hearty.
Ka-ka! Yeah, Guy Daddy. Yeah, that's a
Guy Daddy.
Yeah, that's how. I love it.
And again, I cannot take credit for the term Sky Daddy. That came from Empress Emily M. I hijacked it from her because I thought it was so great.
Yeah. Well, let's see what this caller has to say.
Hey guys, yes, I believe in supernatural. There are instances that have happened where blew my mind, like. Phoenix should know we were on Main Street in Connecticut and door handles would jiggle and nobody would be there. My grandmother's music boxes would just go off and they hadn't been wound up in years. And sometimes I lay down in my bed and it feels like something's jumping on my bed and laying against my back, which I think is my cat Billy. But y'all have a great day. Love you guys. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, I do. Yeah, the apartment building we lived in Connecticut, because Wookie lived in a different apartment than I did.
Yeah.
And that place was definitely, there was some shit up in that thing for sure. And it would not surprise me if Billy was, you know, coming and visiting Wookie. Like that cat and her were peaches and cream, like that was her boy from the time he was a little doofus trying to fucking square up to the microwave because he saw his reflection and he thought it was another cat. And oh god,
I mean I've seen previous cats, so even being here I've seen previous cats of mine, so
yeah, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, Wookie. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Yeah. Sorry about you boys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. There's as injured as our team is. I'm not sure how we're.
Yeah, but they got Scataboo out, and that's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, let's see what this last caller has to say.
Hey. Oh. Yeah. This is a voicemail. I should talk about something. I think I'm supposed to talk about the supernatural and not that lame ass TV show that was on, what was it, the CW or Warner Brothers or something? I actually do believe in the supernatural after a couple of experiences that I have had, one of which involved some doors slapping off the hinges being yanked on so hard in a house that was only occupied by me and the person sitting in front of me. I don't think I can really go over all of that in the little 3 minute window, because it was a series of events that culminated with the door slapping off the hinges and me turning tail and getting the fuck out of there. And then as far as, like, you know, non-spooky supernaturals, you know, how do you explain, you know, the little voice in your head that prevents you from doing something that would have ultimately ended in your death? Like, for instance, I went to go cross an intersection one time. I was just kind of spaced out on the stoplight, and it turned, staring at the red, and it turned green. I took my foot off the brake. I tapped the gas. I heard a voice in my head said, stop. So I did, and another full-size car blew the intersection at about 70 mile an hour through the red light, and it would have been right in my driver's door. So, you know, those are supernatural. It doesn't have to be spooky. Those are things that happen, and you can't explain them. It doesn't seem to be natural. So, or is it? Or is it? Or have we just been cut off from it from so fucking long, being told from the age of four that magic isn't real and that you can't see or interact with the forces around you, that we know that up until that age people do? Kids talk to their dead relatives all the time up until the age where they're told they can't or that they shouldn't be able to. So, yeah. Super fun. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I honestly, like I said, I've talked to dead relatives even, you know, not too long ago. I mean, it's definitely a thing. You know, people say that it's not a thing. You have to be in the right headspace, and there's a lot of other things that have to occur, I think. But
and to be honest, I don't think I would be out of line to say I would love to hear more about the story of that house that the door got slapped off the hinges. Like, that's really interesting. It truly is. Because, I mean, yeah, I openly admit. By the way, the matriarch did weigh in and say, yes, she does believe in the supernatural. However, she did not necessarily elaborate. I'm a massive believer in the supernatural. I've had many experiences. In 1987, when my grandfather passed, I remember I was putting my shoes on after my mom received the phone call about it, and I always felt like he was standing behind me, because I felt someone standing behind me in the doorway as I was putting my shoes on, because my back was to the doorway to my parents' bedroom, and they were not in the bedroom subsequently. And ever since he passed, I've had people say they saw him around me, like he's my guardian angel. So I'm a heavy believer into things otherworldly. Sometimes it scares me. Other times I embrace it. I also think that part of being an empath is, you know, that would be considered supernatural. How is it that you can feel, you know, someone else's emotions just by seeing them on television? And I don't mean because you see them crying, you know, they're sad. This is beyond that. This is the energy of just being in the presence of someone. They don't have to say a word. You could even have a blindfold on and feel literally that person's emotion, energy, and everything just having them near you. And yeah. When you're in a relationship with another empath, like Foam Boy and I, it definitely makes it very interesting at times in this house. And yeah. We are so susceptible to energy.
Yeah, both of us. And yeah, and unfortunately, we're susceptible to each other's energy, too. So we've had to learn, actually, how to separate from each other so that we can actually, you know, get back to center and then things are okay. I mean, this is something we've had to work through. It's like, yeah, we, you know, after having relationships that just sucked and we were just, you know, we're just trying to survive and we're, you know, we love being together. But at the same time, like, yeah, there's times when, you know, you and I have to be separate because we need to sort our own shit out, you know?
Yeah. Because individually we have things going on and there's been a lot of times when I've even said to you, you know, because you can see that I'm, you know, visually in distress emotionally, and you'll be like, you know, can I give you a hug? And I will unfortunately have to say, no, please don't touch me. I don't want you to experience this energy. I don't want to.
Well, the problem is that I feel it even though I'm not touching you, although when I touch you, it gets stronger. Right?
I was going to say, but when you touch me, it's amplified.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. And so this is...
I mean, we can tell the story of the other night when we were... I was sitting and I think you were laying in bed and you reached over and placed your hand on me. I hadn't said anything to you and you were commenting on the fact that you said, what's going on with your energy? Because you literally felt my energy change and not through anything I did, said, or anything. And it wasn't a negative, interestingly enough.
No.
It was in response to something I was watching on YouTube, quite honestly.
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah, I mean, you know, the kind of the complete each other's sentences, I mean, that does happen sometimes. I mean...
Even moreover, yeah. I'll be in the shower and something will happen and you'll be like, what just happened? Because I just felt your energy change. And it's amazing because I'm behind a fucking curtain. There's no way you can see me, but you're dead damn on. That something just changed my energy, and then we talk about it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's definitely more there, right? And this is actually something that, yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's kind of funny because we've probably had all these capabilities, you know, much like Weirdo mentioned, yeah, at a certain age, you had those, they were just kind of there, and then you were told that that shit's not real, and you believed all those people, and so, you know, when you have those feelings, you know, because you probably still have those feelings, well, you ignore them because you've been told to. But this is one of those things. If you're present and you listen and this is where you, you know, take some time and be quiet and listen and not be, you know, not be surrounded by electronics or whatever else. Right. Just spend some time. You and you, right? Or
you do you,
and you'd be surprised as to, you know, exactly, you know, what you might hear, and whether that's, you know, however you rationalize that, you know, I'm not gonna go too far down this rabbit hole, but there's, you know, I think we get all hung up on what we call it, right? Which is kind of the whole Sky Daddy thing. Ultimately, whatever it is you call it, right? It's there, right? And, you know, and there are, you know, and I think, yeah, there's, again, I think there's a lot of stuff we just don't understand about all of this. And just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not there. Right. And it doesn't mean it's not something that has an impact in our lives. And I've had many times, I mean, even when it came, you know, this comes down to even just like our relationship. Right. I start looking at all of the different sort of synchronicities and things that had to have occurred for us to get together. And it's just it's impossible to think that there's not something else there when I see all of that. And it truly is. So. Do we have another voicemail? No, we have another text message. Yes, which I think is actually something that I'll let you read it because it's Jen, I think, that called that did.
Yeah, I just noticed that it was there was a thing on the screen, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if you've seen this. So, Dame Jennifer said, absolutely believe in the supernatural. I've dealt with various demons, beasties, badass mofo entities, and gods. Also, way too many interactions with Grim Reapers and dying patients in nursing homes. Hint, they're there to help. They look scary as fuck because human eyes can't see them properly. I've also seen plenty of ghosts and had instances with two separate living people who biolocated. Too much for text, really, but yeah, I believe. And we believe you, Dame Jennifer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's intense. Yeah, we've had some behind-the-mic conversations about... Reapers and, you know, the patients in God's waiting room, as we call nursing homes.
Yeah.
In the nursing industry.
I mean, this is, you know, that's one of those things that the whole system's been set up so that, you know, that you don't believe that stuff because well, and that stuff is there. Just again, we, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, again, there's lots of different ways to maybe to do it or whatever, but you know, yeah, that's if you think that there's something there, you know.
Yeah, you're not crazy. If you think you feel something, you probably do.
Yeah.
And honestly, don't be afraid of it. There's a reason why, you know, we like partaking of the holy herb, and it is because it opens up neural pathways and channels that sometimes people who need to get a message to us who otherwise wouldn't be able to get through are able to, you know, get the noise through the signal or the signal through the noise.
It's getting through the cloud base. I mean, that's kind of what it is because
there is no cloud, just someone else's computer.
Well, yeah, but
anyway,
yeah, there is a cloud though. And you know what? It's probably coming from the green room. You know,
I was gonna say it's probably a cloud of green smoke because
I take a drink and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
No, they don't freebase cocaine. Well, they probably do freebase cocaine somewhere in California, but California's treasurer says the state's adult use cannabis law is a failure. Well, yeah, it is all about money, of course, because at Ignite its market spotlight in California, Treasurer Fiona Ma told a packed room what many licensees have been saying for years and then laid out where the fixes need to happen. Now, a treasurer is basically the state's banker because all revenues flow through Ma's office, roughly $3 trillion a year by her tally. Jesus Christ, that's a lot of money. She invests a portfolio in the 150 to 250 billion range, balances it daily to six decimals, and issues California's bonds for infrastructure and the University of California and California State University systems. When finance policy closes doors, she sees it first. When a legal industry cannot access programs or capital, she sees the gap. And as she reminded the crowd, the governor is not her boss, voters are. Yeah, right. During COVID, California pushed out about $28 billion in state grants. Not one penny could go to cannabis because it's still Schedule One. That single constraint still shapes how the industry banks, borrows, and plans. I agree with that. A lot of her comments end up being about being unable to enforce the laws on the books, and she added that during COVID, many state workers were not on site, and even now the average is about 2 days a week, which weakened enforcement. Yeah, you know, you got to go show up and see people if you really want to see if they're doing anything bad, right? Leverage is real. Tax capture, leakage is real. Tax capture is not, because California produces at scale, and newer markets are thriving without matching the in-state production, and the product's obviously coming from somewhere. And too much of it bypasses legal channels and taxes. Yeah, that's what it's all about. On how Prop 64 is played out, Ma was blunt. 10 years later, it's a failure. Yeah, because they're not actually getting enough money. Maybe have a few less regulations. Anyway, banking remains a choke point. Ma backed financial institutions that chose to serve cannabis and said many charge high due diligence fees. Support helps, but budget cost and coverage remain uneven. Now, the budget context is real. Now, California faces a structural deficit of about $20 billion a year. Yeah, they got to pay for all those illegal immigrants, right? Ma's argument is fiscal as much as philosophical. Fix the legal market, grow the taxable pie, and stop pretending the illicit delta is invisible. On the path forward, Ma did not mince words. It should be descheduled completely. I agree with that.
And we agree.
Yes. Her concern is practical. Push cannabis towards a pharmacy counter with ID checks and prescription-style rules, and access gets clunky while the illicit market keeps its edge. Yeah. You know, because it's still there. True to scheduling would unlock normal banking, modernize compliance, and let regulators focus on safety and bad actors rather than paperwork hunts. Well, yes. I mean, it also means people could grow it in their own fucking house, which is what they should allow. But anyway, that's a whole different thing.
Yes, we agree completely.
Yeah, this is, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, it's just because they're not getting enough money. Yeah, of course, that's exactly what it is.
Always, when you have to ask, follow the money.
That's right. Now, anyway, this story is a little interesting.
Oh, yeah. We didn't see this one coming, kind of like a blind hooker. Maryland police get overwhelming numbers of volunteers to smoke marijuana and eat free lunch at DUI training for officers.
Smoke weed every day.
Get the munchies.
Police in Ocean City, Maryland say they've received an overwhelming number of people who want to volunteer to smoke marijuana and drive a vehicle in a controlled setting for DUI recognition training purposes, with the added promise of free lunch for participants. just 7 hours after the Ocean City Police Department posted on Facebook that they were soliciting volunteers for the cannabis impaired driving exercise. The agency followed up by advertising to the public that they had more than enough signups and would not be accepting additional applications. The department's original post said they would be partnering with Cannabis Green Lab for the annual Maryland Highway Safety Office Zero Deaths DUI Conference. OCPD said it was looking to recruit 12 to 14 volunteers to smoke cannabis for educational purposes while officers learn to recognize cannabis impairment. The Green Lab helps both officers and participants better understand the effects and levels of impairment caused by cannabis, all in a safe, controlled setting. Participants ultimately selected needed to bring their own cannabis to smoke prior to the driving exercise, but OCPD said the department provided free lunch to volunteers courtesy of MHSO, which I'm not really sure.
Maryland Highway Safety Office, it says so in the article earlier there.
Oh, okay, I see it. My apologies. I had missed that acronym. So that's kind of shitty in a bit of a way. You know you have plenty of fucking weed to give the participants out of your fucking evidence locker. You know you're selling it on the street. Why not just give a little bump to everybody and the free lunch? That's kind of stingy.
Yeah. Well,
so they said, we'll have about 40 student officers participating, so it's a great way to help train the next generation of law enforcement safety and responsibility. I don't hate this, but it really feels grimy to me. There's just something about it that didn't quite set well, though I did find it amusing. Like, oh, you're going to pay people to smoke and drive, and then you're going to feed them. And you're surprised that probably within 5 minutes, you had everybody you needed for the 12 to 24. Because that's undoubtedly what happened, is it probably took less than 30 minutes when word got out, hey, we can literally get fed and smoke weed for the pigs. Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, all right, let's we do this. We do this show, which I still need to post last night's show, of 2.5 Bens. But we also do a segment here on the Lotus Effect called Lotus Tech Tips.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
All right. Well, I couldn't resist this story. Meta, the company behind Facebook, denies torrenting porn to train AI, says downloads were for personal use.
The internet is for porn.
Shaggy!
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
This could have actually been, this article, instead of coming from Ars Technica, should have come from Torrent Freak, because they're talking about BitTorrent. And in BitTorrent, Torrent Freak is a site that just kind of discusses the sort of the illicit activity that occurs in sometimes in BitTorrent and that kind of thing. But this kind of almost looks like, you know, somebody getting, you know, basically looks like a shakedown occurring by the music industry or the movie industry, except instead of being an individual, it's they're going after Facebook. So, because this week, Meta asked a U.S. district court to toss a lawsuit alleging that the tech giant illegally torrented pornography to train AI. Honey, can you imagine so you know they have these they have therapists that they do for AI, right? Could you imagine somebody getting relationship advice that's been trained on porn? I mean,
grab her hair, choke her, fuck her hard, Johnny. Yeah, I can.
Yeah,
well, with the AI giant boom that we're seeing, where there are people literally having chatbot girlfriends and this and that. Oh yeah, I can completely see this.
Yeah, well, I mean, also,
how can they pay me?
Yes. So anyway, the move comes after Strike 3 Holdings discovered illegal downloads of some of its adult films on the Meta corporate IP addresses, as well as other downloads that Meta allegedly concealed using a stealth network of 2,500 hidden IP addresses. Accusing Meta of stealing porn to secretly train an unannounced adult version of its AI model powering movie gen, Strike 3 sought damages that could have exceeded $350 million, according to Torrent Freak. Yeah, see, I knew Torrent Freak was involved somehow, right? Filing a motion to dismiss the lawsuit on Monday, Meta accused Strike 3 of relying on guesswork and innuendo while writing that Strike 3 has been labeled by some as a copyright troll. Yeah, those are the kind of people that Carl Baudet and the doinks at Tech Dirt like to write about, right? Copyright trolls that files extortive lawsuits. Yeah, this sounds like a copy troll. copyright troll, requesting that all copyright claims be dropped. Meta argued that there was no evidence that the tech giant directed any of the downloads of about 2,400 adult movies owned by Strike 3 or was even aware of the illegal activity. Strike 3 also cited no facts to suggest that Meta has ever trained an AI model on adult images or video, much less intentionally so, according to Meta. These claims are bogus, according to a spokesperson from Meta. Now, notably, the flag downloads spanned seven years, starting in 2018. That's about 4 years before Meta AI's efforts researching multimodal models and generative video began, making it implausible that downloads were intended for AI training, Meta argued. An even more glaring defect, Meta argued, is that Meta's terms prohibit generating adult content, contradicting the premise that such materials might even be useful for Meta's AI training.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Instead, Meta argued, available evidence is plainly indicative that the flagged adult content was torrented for private personal use, since the small amount linked to Meta IP addresses and employees represented only a few dozen titles per year, intermittently obtained one file at a time. The far more plausible inference to be drawn from such meager, uncoordinated activity is that disparate individuals downloaded adult videos for personal use, according to Meta's filing.
Okay, wait, pick me. If you're working at Meta and you don't have shit locked, if Meta has not locked down the system where you can't access sites to get those videos, it's going to be really hard to argue that. I'm sorry. Poor IT practices is no excuse for being a shitbag company.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that goes the other way, too, that sometimes it blocks stuff it doesn't need to, like I discovered with something with my work the other day. Like, oh, really? You're blocking that for hate? Okay. You know,
but the point of the matter is you're in a company setting. I'm just going to say this and fuck anyone who doesn't like the fact I'm saying it. You don't need to be, unless you're in the adult filmmaking industry, you should not be accessing porn at work. There is no waxing the carrot on company time. No.
Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah, they're talking about porn, but yeah, I mean, just kind of content filtering in general. Yeah, they probably could do some of that stuff, and why they're not, I don't know, but anyway.
Because they were using it to train their AI, clearly!
Yeah, well, I don't know, we got, AI is running amok on YouTube.
It really is. And YouTube's AI moderator is pulling Windows 11 workaround videos, calling them dangerous.
Access denied.
Now, is installing Windows 11 with a local account or on unsupported hardware harmful or dangerous? YouTube's AI moderation system seems to think so, as it's started pulling videos that show users how to sidestep Microsoft's setup restrictions. Tech YouTuber Rich White, aka Cyber CPU Tech, was the first to go public about the issue on October 26 when he posted a video reporting the removal of a how-to he published on installing Windows 11 25H2 with a local account instead of a Microsoft account. In the video, White expressed concern that YouTube's automated flagging process may be the root of the problem, as he found it hard to believe that creating a local account in Windows 11 could lead to serious harm or even death, as YouTube reportedly alleged when it removed the video. When he appealed, White said that YouTube denied the request within 10 to 20 minutes early on a Sunday morning, which led him to speculate that there wasn't a human in the loop when the request was shut down. This wasn't his only video removed either. The next day, he uploaded his video for this week on installing Windows 11 25H2 on unsupported hardware, which was removed hours after being posted. YouTube justified the removal on similar grounds, as was the case with the first removal and White's appeal. The appeal was denied at 11:55, a full 1 minute after submitting it, White explained in a video following up on both removals. If this was reviewed by a real human like YouTube claims they are, they watched a 17-minute video and denied the appeal in 1 minute. Let that sink in, folks. At least two other YouTubers, Brytech09 and Herkte Mods, have released videos alleging much of the same. They published content about Windows workarounds, YouTube removed them, and they had an impossible time getting to a human for any help. YouTube's AI, all three contend, blocked their videos, despite the fact that bypassing Windows 11 locks is neither illegal nor dangerous for people who follow the instructions. Sure, you might muck up your Windows machine, but no one's going to lose a finger. I don't believe I've spoken with a single human being from Google or YouTube yet since this started, White told us in an email. It's been all automated. I'm not surprised. YouTube has gone all AI practically. It's fucking gross, and I bitch about it in the comments all the time. If I come across a video where obviously they've been using AI, I shame them, and then I move the fuck on. And that's what needs to happen. If we want to stop the absolute spread of all this AI slop, we need to start pushing back. And this guy and the other two are, it seems, as far as YouTube goes, trying to lead that charge. And I think that's important.
Yeah, and I also and Benrose makes a great point, because this one of my issues I always have with YouTube is, does it need to be in video, right? And I can understand that, yeah, there are some things that need to be in video, but, you know, and even, you know, and I saw something the other day that said podcasts that don't have a video element or, you know, or you know, not being listened to or whatever. I'm kind of thinking to myself, most podcasts don't benefit from video at all. Would No Agenda be of any more benefit if you could actually see Adam and John? Well, maybe if they were in the same room, it might be slightly interesting. But beyond that, no. What we talk about? Like, yeah, we talked about doing, and we may do video at some point when we have more space and whatever. But right. But everything doesn't need to be in video. Although it seems like that's how people want to consume content, right? I mostly just listen to stuff, and I've always been that way. Even like. Football games sometimes. I'll listen to them on the radio instead of watching them because I get more out of it that way for some reason. Because I have to pay attention, be present, whatever, and I get overwhelmed by the video. Why does everything need to be a video?
And I agree on a different platform with that, because when I'm looking for a recipe, I don't want to watch you make the fucking thing. I want in print what's the ingredients, how to put them together, times, temperatures. That's it. I don't need a video seeing you making this, prepping this, or otherwise. I don't think everything has to be on video. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do wonder if there's a way to do a workaround where in the, what the hell do you call it? Not the notes, but like...
The transcript or whatever?
The transcript. Unfortunately, I don't know if there's a workaround where you could post your information in the transcript and then just like some flowery fuck-off video that goes with it. To try to work around the AI.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the point is that, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, these platforms are, you know, they're shitty. I mean, unfortunately, and people, you know, getting people on other platforms is always, you know, that's always the problem that you have, right, with any of this stuff. So that's, and then trying to get people to move to a different platform, it works so well, you know, so yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you kind of have to work with the platforms as they exist, but you know, I mean, people need to demand, and yeah, it's like...
Okay, I want to point something out, because I think this is extremely relevant. So I subscribe to an actual human, okay, on YouTube. He's called Josh Prime, and he's got cop cam videos. Great. He called out a channel recently, and this is kind of relevant, called out a channel of skits that are being made, okay, basically AI-generated, that make it look like cops are violating a person's civil rights and whipping people into a frenzy, okay? AI's not shutting those fucking things down, but they're shutting down valid tech videos on how to do important things. I just thought that there was an interesting, you know, why one and not the other. This is truly where the gatekeeper is being paid off, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, and obviously, if you're trying to get a message out, you have to kind of work. Yeah, if you have nothing to say, then fine, don't use the platforms. But if you have something to say and you want people to hear it, you kind of have to use platforms to do it, right? Unless there's, you know, you can't just stand on the. I guess you could stand on the street corner and hope somebody listens to you, but no. But the whole reason, if you're using these platforms, right? Yes, I understand that. Yeah, all these platforms suck. If you want to get a message out, however, you kind of have to use the ones that people exist, you know. So I get it. It's there is a, you know, I get it, you know, that not, a, yeah, the platforms all suck and we need to develop something better. But until then, let's go to the junk drawer, because we need to go to the junk drawer.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of garbage when all these EVs, you know, stop working. And in fact, you know, they're manufacturing too many of them now because GM has to lay off 1,700 workers making EVs and batteries in Michigan and Tennessee. Just a few weeks ago, automakers were celebrating a healthy third quarter for electric vehicle sales. General Motors was looking particularly flush with EV sales up 104% for the year to date compared to the first 9 months of 2024. But the strong EV sales in Q3 were seemingly due to the imminent end of the federal tax credit that expired at the end of September. So this has been subsidized. That's the only reason people are buying this shit, with many consumers buying a car sooner than planned to take advantage of the $7,500 incentive. The Trump administration has been altering the regulatory environment in other ways to discourage clean technologies. You mean the ones that call themselves clean but are really dirty? Yeah, you know, all those, you know, those minerals the brown children in sandy places have to extract. You just don't see the pollution that's happening, but I can assure you it is happening. So canceling infrastructure initiatives and turning a blind eye to pollution.
Bullshit.
Now, on top of that, the impact of the president's chaotic trade war has driven up prices and is cooling demand. So 2 weeks ago, GM told investors that things are looking so bad that it will take a $1.6 billion hit to its bank account as it realigns manufacturing capacity going forward. Now we can see some of the impact of that realignment. According to the Detroit News, 1,200 workers are being laid off at GM's EV building Hamtramck Assembly Center near Detroit, which will move from two shifts a day to just one in early January. Another 550 workers are being laid off at the Ultium Cells plant in Ohio that is a joint venture with LG Chem, and the plant will also stop production on January 5th until at least May. Another 850 workers at the Ultium Cells plant in Ohio will be temporarily laid off, as will 700 more at a second Ultium Cells factory in Tennessee. Now, during the temporary pause, Ultium Cells plan to make upgrades to both facilities to provide greater flexibility, GM said in a statement to the Detroit News. Ultium Cells will continue to evaluate and adapt production plans based on evolving market needs. GM also recently shut down its BrightDrop brand, which made electric delivery vans, blaming weak demand. And as the automaker has also laid off IT workers in Georgia and staff from its Warren Technical Center in Michigan.
Okay. So here's where Phoenix and her EV science gets to have a little temper tantrum and an opinion. This is the biggest bullshit that I've ever seen. The bottom line here is everybody is seeing the negative effects that EVs are having, not only on their wallets, but also on the environment. Those who actually give a fuck about it, as I firmly believe 47 does. When you get these things wet with seawater, they burst into flames. What happens then? Another and another and another. And then you have ships of them who are sinking. What's that doing to our ocean? All those minerals leaching into the water. All of the bad things that you don't want that are polluting the environment. You know, you want to bitch and complain about fossil fuels and about these oil slicks. Yes, oil spills are bad. But, you know, when companies do the responsible thing and actually do what they're supposed to do, it lessens that happening. In addition to which, we have the ability to make fuel from the trash that we're complaining is heaping up everywhere. We can recycle it into fuels. There are plenty of ways to power vehicles that don't include fossil fuels and don't include electric vehicles full of these rare earth minerals mined by brown children in sandy places. Why? Why is it taking this long for people to finally come to that realization? It all comes down to the money. And at the end of the day, yeah, okay, a bunch of people are losing their jobs. They're being laid off. But there's plenty of jobs out there, I assure you. And they probably would pay just as well to do something a lot less nefarious. Because how the people at night sleep, knowing that that which they are manufacturing is ultimately leading to our own human demise as the planet suffers. End of rant.
Well, I think you're going to have much to rant about this next story, though.
I have plenty to rant about in this next story because declassified MKUltra transcripts have been released, and they paint a dark portrait of America.
You got some splaining to do.
There aren't many American Cold War villains as stone evil as Sidney Gottlieb, the CIA chemist who oversaw the crimes and depredations of the company's MKUltra program. In 1975, Gottlieb appeared before Senator Frank Church's committee that was looking into the various crimes and depredations of the CIA. Church's committee remains one of the most important episodes in recent history of the many we've chosen to forget about. The folks at the National Security Archives have released the transcripts of Gottlieb's testimony to the Church Committee, and they are every bit as bad as the country has tried so hard not to recall. Quoting from the transcripts, among other things, the recently declassified transcripts from the closed-door hearings held on October 15th through 18th, 1975, shed new light on the bizarre and abusive research projects associated with Gottlieb and the agency's technical services staff, including the administration of mind-altering drugs in situations where, in Gottlieb's words, the unwitting and total lack of awareness on the part of somebody who is being interrogated that way might have been the key thing. At one point, Senate staffers asked Gottlieb about a document indicating that one interrogee had been secretly given a large dose of LSD that induced a severe classic paranoid reaction, so extreme that he was declared mentally ill by an equally unwitting psychiatrist who was thus discredited in the eyes of the group with which he had been working. Gottlieb said that it had been recognized that this kind of thing might be a need that P-1, or LSD, might help with, to make somebody behave erratically for the purpose of his colleagues losing faith in his abilities to act responsibly. Other parts of the hearing focused on Gottlieb's involvement in CIA assassination plots, especially those targeting Cuban leader Fidel Castro, and its support to the activities of other federal agencies through MH Chaos, the subject of the earlier Rockefeller Commission report. We know how fucking credible the Rockefellers are. They're not corrupt at all. So the transcripts are a case study in how government secrecy can run amok as long as there are people like Gottlieb to run it. Much of the public knowledge of these activities came from lawsuits filed by Gottlieb's victims and their families. Once the Church Committee began shaking his tree, Gottlieb and his horror stories had his horror stories dragged out of him. Again, quoting from the transcripts, the committee staff also asked Gottlieb about the extent of CIA-sponsored drug testing in prisons and psychiatric facilities in the U.S. Asked on the first day of testimony if he recalled artichoke operations either in prisons, mental hospitals, or other facilities that might hold either criminals or criminally insane, Gottlieb replied, "I don't remember anything like that." However, the next day, Gottlieb said he did remember that TSS, that being the technical services staff, so he remembered, conveniently, that they conducted general research at hospitals with psychochemicals, although he took issue with the word prison to describe what he said were treatment facilities run by the Public Health Service for people with criminal backgrounds. Sounds like a lot of doublespeak to me. Now, one of Gottlieb's acid guinea pigs reportedly was an inmate at the federal prison at Alcatraz from Boston named Whitey Bulger. Oh, gee, we know that man, don't we? Or at least those of us who are into the mob do. So Gottlieb was similarly evasive in response to questions about whether experiments were done at universities, finally settling on this statement. There was some of the work involving such testing that went on at hospitals that were affiliated with universities and might have used university students as a source of volunteers. Asked again about these kinds of projects on the final day of testimony, Gottlieb admitted that the CIA had an extensive research program in regard to human experimentation on psychochemicals under MKUltra, adding that a lot of these things were done in hospitals and mental institutions, and when you say hospitalization, the people were already hospitalized. I'm sure if we dug into the transcripts more, we could find all kinds of things. The naivety of the article writer is cute, though. Quote, "Glad we never let this kind of thing get completely out of hand."
Really? right from birth, so my brain was being compartmentalized right away. My father's sexual abuse extended into prostituting me out to my grandfather's Blue Masonic Lodge. And as a little toddler, I was being prostituted to some of the local politicians there. And when my father's sexual abuse extended into child pornography of me, all the way back then, he was caught sending child pornography through the U.S. mails, and approached by one of those local politicians that I'd been prostituted to, and told he could receive immunity from prosecution if he would agree to sell me into the CIA's MKUltra mind control project, especially the sub-project, Project Monarch, which is the multi-generational project that I was conducive to me since, you know, my whole family was that way.
So it's kind of like Hitler and them. They got people to continue their studies.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
they
what
did
it is,
through,
right?
Through the secret societies. And that local politician was Gerald Ford. And Gerald Ford went on to become the unelected president of the United States.
That's right. You heard that correctly. Now, what you heard there was a woman named Kathy O'Brien and the craggy-ass voice of Roseanne Barr, because it was her podcast on which Kathy was featured. But she has several books out. They are available on Audible, and I do have them, actually. One of them is Access Denied for Reasons of National Security, and the other one is called Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America. The atrocities this woman was subjected to in and by our government, the elected officials, and the other, it's gross, y'all. I will tell you, if you do read or listen to her books, they are extremely triggering when you hear of the horrible abuses that herself and many other people, including her daughter, sadly, were subjected to through the CIA and the government bullshit. These people are disgusting. They need to be destroyed. But with that, you know, it's almost time to be out of here.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Now, we don't have any more voicemails, because that's what we also do that. But, of course, you could call in at 253-237-3321. Yeah, actually, and y'all covered the Kathy O'Brien stuff on, back in Coffee and Chronic days, which I still have the episodes for. The website's probably not up anymore, but I
episode number 6 is where that particular clip comes from.
Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, I might add it back to our feed just so that there's some place that people can get to it. But anyway, we have those. Yeah, we actually did cover. No, I think we actually did it in multiple episodes, if I recall correctly.
Yes. It was a multi-episode coverage, but she's definitely someone to look into, you know, hear her story and get a better understanding of just exactly how nefarious the goings-on have been, because this isn't over. It hasn't stopped. I don't give a fuck what Billy Clinton fucking said. They haven't put a stop to this. They're not going to put a stop to this until they have this blown so wide open that you have no other option but to clean out the garbage in it.
All right. Well, this was one of these shitty stories here. This is our last call for today. A missing Louisiana girl at the age of 13 was rescued from a box in Pennsylvania basement.
He got a hard on. He got horny. He lost control. He went out of his mind.
Now, this is disgusting. A 13-year-old Louisiana girl who went missing after meeting a man online was found alive in a box at his home several states away in Pennsylvania, along with evidence that she had been sexually assaulted, according to authorities. How do you find a girl in a box? I mean, that's... Keyshawn Crumity, 26, faces charges of human trafficking, sexual assault, unlawful contact with a minor, and corruption of a child after police in Pittsburgh said they arrested him on Thursday. He's one of at least 3 men who had been arrested as of last Saturday, amid an investigation involving law enforcement agencies in multiple states. This is...
Listen to me, folks. I constantly say it. I'm going to keep saying it. This girl met this piece of shit on Snapchat. If you've got kids, pay the fuck attention to what they're doing, what platforms they're on. It's not spying on your kids. Till you're 18, you ain't got any fucking rights in my house. You live under my roof. I pay for your food. I pay for your clothing. I pay for your internet. I pay for your phone. I pay for everything. I should be able to dig through anything and everything. And you should definitely pay attention to what your kids are doing. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, actually, it was funny because there's a story that I didn't put into the script this week. But talking about there's this whole idea of people actually going back to landlines and maybe not, and actually like for their teenagers because the screen fucks with your brain. I mean, and the fact that they all have them from birth now. I mean, you know, I'm thinking of the telescreens in Fahrenheit 451. We knew how bad those damn things were. You know, I'm sure Ray Bradbury is probably rolling over in his grave right about now, seeing how the telescreens have taken over everything.
Phone boy, all you have to do truly is just look around when you go out in public. You have got all these little crotch goblins with screens in their hands, and God forbid you take that screen away, they flip the absolute fuck out. That is a problem right there. That's mental illness. Your children are all mentally ill if you're handing them a phone, and you're just as mentally ill for handing them that phone. Touch the little fucker. Have an interaction, and I don't mean inappropriately. Pay attention to your kids. Stop just handing them off to an electronic.
No kidding. Well, I think we're done with this shit. What do you think?
I think at this point, you know, there's only one thing to do.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
That's right. Fuck it. We gotta go. But we've had an absolute great time. So with that, I really just...
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.